Accession number 18493, Reel 4.
Mr. Arnold Lupton, Reel 4. I was asking you about the heat inside. Was there any heat generated by the firing?
No, not especially, as these were only 2-pounder shots, which were not a very big case to fire the shot. And most of the heat went out of the front end. You got a certain amount came back when the gun recoiled, but not a great amount. And as I said, the engine was being cooled by air drawn in from the front, either through the driver's view hole or through the troop leaders, the tank leader's hole, and drawn through the engine. So it was being cooled all the time, except in certain very hot countries that we went to later on.
Were you properly crewed? I mean, did you have a full complement for the type of tank? I was thinking of commander, gunner, loader. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we would have that. Commander, gunner, loader, driver. Yes, that would normally equip a tank, until later on when we got some which needed one or two other people. But those tanks, well, especially if you got a light tank, you wouldn't have a loader. Well, you'd have to load by yourself any belts of ammunition into the machine guns. there wasn't room, I don't think, for a separate loader in there.
Yeah, I was thinking for these familiarisation exercises, they gave you...
You had a crew, yes. You would, for the gunner and the loader, you would have two of you from the training troop doing that. The tank commander would be sergeant or somebody like that. Driver would be one of the regular people who drove out onto the chute. But the others, you would be two of you, and you would take it in turns to either load or fire the gun.
At the end of the training, obviously the next step was to get posted to a regiment. Could you tell me how that actually came about?
Yes, well, I certainly hadn't given any... I wasn't given a chance to have any preference in moving to a certain regiment. There were already quite a few tank regiments at that time, and I think the call just came through, will you please send so many men to 2nd Tank Regiment, who were then situated at Warminster Barracks. And suddenly I found myself taken along in a truck, I think, with the rest of our troop, or maybe a couple of trucks, and delivered to Warminster Barracks, where we were not put in the barracks. We were in bell tents outside, and oh boy, the weather was just wonderful, pouring with rain, and everywhere was like a bog. But anyway, we arrived, and there we were, 2nd Tanks. And then again, we didn't have very much training. We marched around a bit in mud and on the roads, and we didn't do really any driving, nothing to do with tanks. In fact, I don't know whether we actually had any tanks there then, until we got moved to, where were we now? Yes, most of the battalion got moved to Luton, But I was in C Squadron, and we got moved to Dunstable, which was a very nice place to be. Everybody was very friendly. Probably we were about the first soldiers they'd had there anyway, so they probably felt friendly towards us then. And this was in, I think, beginning of October, just about. And then we started, when we got to Dunstable, then we started having a bit of training, driving tanks and learning all about them, or quite a lot about them anyway. I know I nearly crashed two tanks myself in learning. One of them was one of the Mark VI Vickers. Weird things they were. And I know I was on top of a steep hill and going down it. I couldn't do anything to stop it or pull it over to one side or whatever. And at the bottom was a police station, which wouldn't have been a very good place to crash into. But anyway, the tutor, if you like to call him that, sergeant, he managed to get down into the driving space and do what was necessary. So I did avoid hitting that police station on that occasion, and tank. And on the next occasion, when I was driving one of the light tanks up near near Dunstable itself, a place called Tottington outside Dunstable, I was driving along a windy country road and came to a bend which I wasn't taking. Well, I don't think I was taking it at all. I think I was just cutting straight across it, a bend in the road, and there was a bloke on a motorbike coming the other way. Well, he just left his motorbike and went over the hedge somewhere and disappeared across the field. But the tutor again managed to stop this tank, and those were my first two lessons on tank driving. Not very successful, but still, they are somewhat different from driving a car. And it wasn't long before I did learn how to do it. But then we had a terrible winter that winter, and to drive a tank was just about impossible because the roads were solid ice everywhere, and it went on for week after week. And so any main driving was just in trucks because we were a danger to anybody round about Dunstable at that time otherwise.
Just to clarify this, you were saying that the very first time you had any experience of or tuition in driving a tank was when after you joined your unit.
Yes, yes. And after we'd moved somewhere where there was, apparently where we had tanks, because I can't remember ever seeing any at Warminster. There must have been some somewhere.
How long were you at Warminster before you moved to Dunstable?
Oh, only a couple of weeks or so.
So what did the battalion, the 2nd Royal Tanks, what did they do with you in that couple of weeks, apart from march you around in the mud?
Taught us how to put up and take down bell tents and things. And there wasn't very much else that either they could teach us there or they thought of teaching us, because I think they were all really getting ready to move anyway, and everything had to be packed up nicely and tidily and all that. So we just had to muck in with helping them whilst they helped us to get used to being there.
How did they sort of fit you for your various... I mean, were you tested to see whether you had an aptitude for driving or gunnery or whatever?
Not at that time, no. All we did there at Dunstable really was to learn to drive tanks, to learn to drive other vehicles, which the battalion had, and how to maintain them. There wasn't any gunnery went on around there at all. We were stationed, well, at Dunstable. There was the, was it AC? Yes, AC Sphinx, I think it was. They made spark plugs, and we went around there to have a look at spark plugs and things, and went down to Foxhalls in Luton to look at trucks being built. We didn't have any gunnery or anything there. Again, it was really a question of learning more about vehicles here, and maintenance, apart from the usual marching here and there and what have you to occupy our time.
Who were your trainers on driving tanks? Were they unit trainers?
Yeah, they were part of our unit. They were sergeants or whatever, corporals or sergeants in the actual unit, who were qualified drivers and instructors in driving vehicles of various types, including these tanks.
Did you get any wireless training at this time?
No. I never really got any wireless training at any time, because nearly all the tanks we had no wireless in them. Well, for a couple of years almost. And there were people who had already been instructed in wireless. I just couldn't rake up any enthusiasm myself for it. And if anybody was called, would they like to go and do it? It wasn't me who went to go to do it. I did something else. So the people who were qualified radio operators, wireless operators or whatever, they got their instruction and their qualification, whatever it may be, whilst they were there in Dunstable or the others in Luton.
So you concentrated really on driving and maintenance?
Yes, yeah, until later.
What kind, you were saying you had you were trained on a light tank?
Yes.
What kind of steering was that?
It was tiller steering. That is, if you pulled the right-hand lever, there were two levers, one by your right hand, one by your left hand. If you pull the right-hand one, it made you go left. If you pull the left-hand one, it made you go right, which you learnt after a while, to pull the right one. The brake was initially a foot brake, and there was a hand brake too in the middle, which you could yank on if you stopped completely. But it was this steering by using these pullers which brought a clutch into operation to give you to stop one of the tracks or slow it down so the other one pulled you round.
What about the gears?
The gears were, well, you could say perfectly straightforward. They were perfectly straightforward for those days. That was that they had a gate of normally four forward gears and one reverse, which meant you had to double the clutch, as it was in those days, to be able to change from one gear to the next, because you didn't have any fancy clutches or anything like that in. They were just a straightforward sort of stop the engine, and you had to get the right number of revs going in your mind, in your ears, to be able to change at the right time. those you had on practically all vehicles at that time anyway. I mean, even if you learned to drive a car or small lorry, you still had to use this double declutching stunt.
Anything else peculiar about the light tank, about driving?
No, it was, once you got used to it, it was quite an easy thing to control. I don't know what the weight of it was. I think maybe about 10 tons or perhaps even a little less than that. The plate around, the armour plate around it was, what would you say, between a quarter and a half inch, perhaps 5/8 or something. Perhaps 3/8. It might stop a bullet so long as they didn't fire it too close to the tank, you know, but it was a bit of protection around you. But, of course, it was awfully heavy if you hit anything. So you had to try to see that you didn't hit anything. And they were quite playful things in a way. You could, you know, steer them around on a six-one sort of thing, a bit more so than some of the bigger ones.
That's quite quite a point, isn't it? You know, seeing where you're going. What was the driver's position like for viewing?
Well, you had a flap which you raise up at the front, which was the, well, it and another flap you could open at the front would enable the driver to get in or out from the driver's position, not have to come up through the turret. And then you had a little vision aperture which you could also open if you want. If you had the front completely closed down, you could open this aperture where you couldn't see very much to either side of straight ahead, so mainly you were looking straight ahead. There wasn't any protective glass or anything inside there. It was just a slit that you could see through.
What was the accent? Was the accent on attempting to drive closed down, or was it driving with the hatch open?
Well, when you weren't in action, you'd drive with the hatch open. But if you were in action, it'd be better to shut the flap.
Rather essential, I would have thought.
Yes.
Yeah, I was really sort of getting it. Obviously, you'd need to drive with the flap open when you were training, but I mean,
much when you were driving on a road or in the country or whatever, if you weren't in action, you would have the flap open completely to full.
How difficult was it when you were closed down?
Very difficult compared with that. You had to more or less take the instruction. If you were doing any dodgy work, you would have to take the instruction from the tank commander, who might have his lid open, but if he was in action, he might have that closed too, and he'd be looking through a little visor. But his visor was a bit wider viewing than the driver's was.
How did you get these instructions?
Well, they did have an intercom, like a telephone speaker, and the driver would have earphones on. And also for the gunner, he would have them on. But the commander was also supposed to be able to use the same microphone to be able to speak through the radio, but of course if he didn't have a radio, he only used it for controlling the driver and the gunner.
How about the larger tanks? Well, did you have cruisers at this time?
We got cruisers Yes. Well, we weren't at Dunstable when we got them. We moved on from there to Ringwood in Hampshire, from where we went over to France. And when we were at Ringwood, we got the cruisers, A9s, A10s. Mainly, they were the only ones we had there, A9s and A10s. A9s were, well, they had a two-pounder gun and the machine gun in the turret, and they had two bins, as we call them, at each side of the driver at the front. They were like dustbins with a lid you could open to get in or out, and each of those had a machine gun in it too. Beezers, they were at that time, the guns. Yes. The A-10 was very similar, except that it didn't have the two bins at the front, and instead it had a single machine gunner at the front next to the driver, who had another, he had a beezer, so that there were the two-pounder and beezer in the turret, and one more beezer down at the front, next to the driver. The outside appearance, apart from the two bins, was very similar, and it was a type of tank that was really built by the same people to the same standard of drive and support mechanism outside.
What was the? How was that one driven? Was that similar?
Yes, that was similar. It was also by tiller bars. In fact, all of the various tanks we had seemed to be driven that way. You had no steering wheel or anything like that. You had to. In fact, when you got into something with a steering wheel, it was a bit strange after pulling these two sticks to keep you going straight, right or left, whichever it was.
Was that the only form of steering on tiller steering? I mean, in other words, you locked or slowed down a track. Was there any way of warping the track, literally with a tiller, under your feet?
No. No, you only had the tillers to do it. And if you wanted to, I suppose the track came off for any reason, was either hit or the pin broke and it just came off, you had to re-pin it then with a new pin. And if it came off because it was perhaps too slack, then you'd have to take one of the track bits, pieces out and try and pull it together, which wasn't very easy. But if you got all the crew out, you could just about do it. The only thing was, it wasn't very easy when you were in the middle of a war battle or something. But it could be done. And then you would just sort of level yourself up on the tiller bars after that.
What was the what was the driving compartment like in the A9?
Well, it was a little cramped. Let's say it would be cramped to me now. In those days, when you were supposed to be a fairly fit soldier, you could get in and out reasonably well. No great difficulty. There was the possibility of moving the driving seat like you can in a car, sliding it backwards or forwards. You couldn't raise or lower it, of course. You had to be able to just keep at the same level wherever you were, but you could pull it nearer or further so that you could get at the clutch and any other necessary parts.
About getting into that position, how did you actually get into that driving position?
Well, there again, you had two flaps. One, which lifted up, was hinged just above or about level with the driver's head, at the front of the tank, and that could be lifted up and locked in position. And then in front of the driver, sort of over his lap, you could pull another flap over so that you had a bigger space to get in and out of.
So your entry and exit from your tank was through the front?
For the driver, yes, and for the front gunner, if there was one. Except when...
So this is the A9?
Oh, the A9, yes. Yes, in the A9, the driver had to get in or out from the front. We didn't have to. He could struggle up through the compartment behind if necessary. If something hit the front and jammed his visor down so that he couldn't get out.
How easy was that? Getting out between the two dustbins, as you called them, and out through the turret?
Well, it wasn't too bad. There was an open space behind the driver where he could clamber over the back of the seat and get into there all right. Wasn't the easiest of manoeuvres, but of course, if you had to, you had to. And quite a few people did, one way or the other.
How about the two auxiliary turrets? What was the usual way into and out of those?
Just through the top of them, the lid of each of them, as you might say, which opened up in two halves.
Were they ever crewed? I mean, as a general principle, if you had A9s in the field, were these guns actually manned?
Oh yes, yes. I was on one or two in the desert, which were A9s, and they were crewed fully. You know, each of the dustbins and driver, we have six people on those tanks. Yes.
What was the feeling inside the A9 in various positions? For example, the driver. I mean, how did it actually feel in there?
Well, you were reasonably comfortable as you could ever be inside a tank. And you felt normally that you felt as safe as you could be in a tank too, which in view of the armour plate around our British tanks wasn't terribly safe really. In fact, we used to say that the sand could blow through them, but
You say you actually crewed one of the dustbins. How did that feel?
Well, you were cut off in a way. You were a separate person in a separate dustbin. You know, there was no direct connection between you and anything else in the tank. You were just conveyed along, and if a bit of firing started up above you, then you thought you'd better do a bit yourself, because there wasn't any communication really, unless somebody in the, like the tank commander, happened to kick you in the back from where he was standing.
So that you were not part of the intercom system.
No.
Well, the driver of an A9 was. Was he on the intercom?
Yeah, he was on the intercom, yes. Because he would be told where to go and when, and go left, go right, stop, whatever. But if you were one of the machine gunners in a bin, well, you were just there, that's all.
You had to use your own initiative, yes, for finding targets.
Yes.
What was the vision like being a driver on an A9?
It was quite good. Even when the front flap was down in front of him, well, he still had this little visor thing to look through if the front was closed down. But it was a wide enough visor that he could see something slightly to each side of straight ahead. I think by that time they had also got a bit of armoured glass in there, so that you did get a fairly clear vision.